Dad said, I need somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
This man must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to The Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Of course, I'm joined by Leonora Cravotta. Hello, Leonora.
Good morning, Scott.
So, we just found out yesterday, that we did a whole show live, and the whole thing didn't air.
So we're going to have to give you some of the highlights. We're going to have to talk about some of the things that we said that you didn't hear, and we want to thank our listeners who, you know, let us know.
Yeah. It's like, are you running a rerun? And was like, no, I'm live.
We're live. We're talking all about the results of the New Hampshire Democratic primary. We were talking about so many other things. Jussie Smollett. There was all these pieces of news that we were talking about. But just to rehash real quickly, Democratic primary, Bernie Sanders pulled it out, as everybody knows, 25.7%. 9 delegates. Then Pete Buttigieg, 24.4%, 9 delegates. And then after that, we've got Amy Klobuchar walking away with over 19% and 6 delegates. And then you have Elizabeth Warren with no delegates and 9.25%. And then Joe Biden, he had 8.4% and no delegates. Now, Biden didn't think he was going to do well in New Hampshire, but he certainly didn't think he was going to come in fifth. And you know what he did? He left town. He did not even thank his supporters. You know, whenever you have a...
Pulled a Hillary.
Well, that's what they want to call it. He pulled a Hillary. Whenever you do a race, you always thank the people who helped you out, even if you didn't win.
Well, they took time out of their busy schedules.
Of course they did.
They had to put on those stupid Biden T-shirts.
Exactly.
And, you know, act like that they cared and cheered.
Well, I think some of them did care and some of them did cheer with authenticity. But that being said, he got it all messed up when he was communicating about it. He said, well, now we've had a race in Iowa and Nevada. He goes, but we have to think about Nevada and South Carolina. So he couldn't even remember the name New Hampshire. Not very good for Joe Biden.
Well, you know what's amazing is New Hampshire, they had Trump winning 130,000 almost 129,600, something like that, 130,000 votes. Well, the last time an incumbent got was in a race in New Hampshire was Obama. He got 49,000.
So that's a huge variance. And then the other good...
If that's a sign of things to come, we're looking at major league...
Landslide Trump 2020. Yeah. But the other statistic I saw that complemented that is there was a survey through the Gallup poll which asked people how happy they were, and it was done in the same way that it was talking about an incumbent president in an incumbent year, and Trump got 61%. I think Obama got something like 45%. And then when you go a little further down, there were other presidents, Clinton and Bush, you know, George W. Bush and also George Herbert Walker Bush, that were more in the low 50s. So the fact that 61% of people are happy under President Trump, but happy the way the country is going. That's the stat that we don't hear too often. And, you know, and again, what the underlying component of this is it's the economy. It, you know, it's the fact that people have more money in their wallets. And that's what's going to matter when people go to the polls on November 3rd. They're going to be thinking about how much money do I have in my wallet? How much money do I have in my 401k? Do I feel secure from a national security perspective? That's what they're going to care about. They're not going to care that Donald Trump used the nickname towards a person on Twitter.
29,500 and something. Again, November 4th, I looked this up. November 4th, it was 17,880.
Yeah.
Now, on election day, I'm talking about 2016.
You're talking about the Dow.
I'm talking, yeah, 2000. I didn't say the year.
Yeah.
Okay, but November 8th, 2016, the day of the election, was 18,000, couple hundred.
Right.
And now we're up to 29,551.
We've hit 29,000 a few times, yes, well, in the last few weeks.
We're poised and ready to get to 30,000 with the new trade deals and a lot of other things. But, you know, the Democrats, they want impeachment 2.0. And one of the things that's bothered me, And then on the flip side, Trump is launched the counterattack. So we have the counterattack. You got to figure that just like when Soleimani bombed Baghdad, the military wanted to say, okay, we'll get them in the morning. Mm-hmm. And Trump said, no, we want those Marines out there right now.
Well, that's his reaction. He's immediate. Go out and do it now. Don't wait until tomorrow.
Well, you'll end up with another Benghazi.
Of course.
You know, the people that are in charge and in power aren't thinking the same way Trump thinks. And Trump's instincts, I trust them. I think that they're very good. And in this case, you know, I always said that in the wake of the Mueller investigation, Trump was going to wait until that was done and over. Because if he came out early, he'd be hit up with obstruction.
Right, of course.
Which we knew that that's where they were going with it. So Mueller ends. Trump thinks he has more than 36 hours. And all of a sudden, they're hitting him up with another thing. Not only did Mueller delay that, because we know that Mueller could have ended his investigation within the first 2 days. Mm-hmm. Trump said that. And it was very clear that there was information that indicated that Mueller was on a witch hunt. There was nothing there. But he extended it through the 2018. I still, for the life of me, can't figure out how anybody could have, you know, voted for a Democrat in 2018, given the successes of Trump.
Right.
But apparently, at that time, people still were not getting Trump. They were buying into losers like Mitt Romney. And all of a sudden, we got this house. If we never had this Democrat house, we would have never had this impeachment.
You know, it's interesting to put it that way. When you think about it in that context and you think about the amount of waste that has happened with this impeachment hearing,
the money that was spent on the Mueller witch hunt and also just everything that the House has been doing.
It's not just the impeachment trial. It's been all the other songs and dances that have gone on since Trump has been in office and since the House was taken back by the Democrats. I mean, there's been a lot of times in which the House was proverbially being held hostage. And we were, you know, it happened over budgets. It happened over a lot of things.
They put out more subpoenas than they did pieces of legislation.
Exactly. And so when you're going to look back at this Congress and you're going to say what were its successes, there's not going to be that much to rattle off. I did want to make one more comment about the New Hampshire primary that we talked up a lot about on the show that nobody heard. Amy Klobuchar. Amy Klobuchar did very well with 19.8% in New Hampshire, walking away with 6 delegates. And her success is indicative that there are a lot of Democrats that are not happy with a socialist president such as Bernie Sanders. So this is a positive for President Trump because some of these people can be swung in the Trump direction. So it's very interesting, and there's going to be a lot to see over the next few weeks as we go to Nevada on the 22nd, and we go to South Carolina on the 29th. See what happens and who drops out, and of course we've lost Yang, and we've also lost Bennett.
Yang, Bennett, and Duval.
Alexander. Right.
Duval Alexander.
I think his name was Patrick Duval.
Patrick Duval. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't Patrick your middle name?
Yeah. Nobody knew that until now.
Oh, well.
all right. But There's so much more. So the counterattack was supposed to be immediate.
Deval Patrick. We had it reversed. Okay. One of us had it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the counterattack is started to happen. Now they're investigating Barr. They're calling Barr up to the House Judiciary Committee.
And what day is that supposed to be? It's in March?
In March. Yeah, okay. March 3rd, March something like that. But
March 3rd is Super Tuesday. Can you imagine if that was going on the same day?
I'll have to look it up. It's on my Twitter. Yeah. So I'll look it up. But the idea is this. So they're going after all these different things, but there are so many pieces to this puzzle now that are starting to come out. We're gonna finally learn out who the anonymous New York Times op-ed writer is.
And that feels like such a long time ago at this point.
And then there's the big story about Roger Stone.
Yes.
Right? Now, Roger Stone, that situation is big. I'll tell you why that's big. It's big because I think that Amy Berman Jackson, the judge overseeing the Roger Stone case, she has absolutely got to be the most ruthless, meanest human being in D.C.
And that's a pretty high bar.
Yeah. I mean, she squashed him, his ability to speak. And I always said, man, how can we get rid of her?
Yeah.
She's an Obama judge.
She's a holdover.
And she's an activist judge. Well, she's not a holdover. She gets to keep that
spot.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
And until she retires, I guess, right? And she won't retire. And people hate her, and she's not going to leave. And she's a corrupt judge.
Mm-hmm.
So now the situation, we're going to go ahead and skip through the break. And so now the situation is this. They got this Tamika Hart. Now, Tamika Hart was a juror. Well, she couldn't contain herself. She hates Trump so much that she couldn't contain herself. So that when Trump tweeted this out. He tweeted out that he thought that 7 to 9 years sentencing guidelines that was being advocated by four prosecutors in the DOJ, the corrupt deep state DOJ. This all came out, and what happened was Barr responded to that. Either Barr either said, wow, I wasn't aware of that, or McClatchy, the third largest newspaper publisher in the U.S. by circulation, says it has filed Chapter 11.
McClatchy. I had a feeling that was what you were going to say. Well, that's another generational change.
Yeah. So in any case, I got people texting me saying, hey, Patrick.
Well, all right. Well, we got it wrong. I said Deval Patrick. We said, I forgot what you called him. I called him Patrick Deval. It's actually Deval Patrick.
Oh,
I released your middle name on the air.
Apparently, Tori didn't know either because she texted me too. Tamika, right?
Yeah.
Hart. So she has all this stuff on her social media that she's trying to expunge right now, and she's hating Trump, right?
Right.
Well, when Trump tweeted out about the sentencing guidelines, the next thing you know, AG Barr responds to that and says, yeah, that sounds a little ridiculous, right?
Right.
Because you got to understand that this case shouldn't have even been brought.
Right.
It was a minor lie. It was more like a mistake. It wasn't an intentional lie. There was no gain for Roger Stone to lie. Because what he did wasn't even a crime. He was investigating Julian Assange's WikiLeaks, and he got some information that he thought was pretty good, like you and I were doing, researching the election, trying to find some OPA research on Hillary or whatever.
And that's not a crime, actually.
No, I mean, we do it all the time, and we disseminate information, and we talk with different people. Well, he was talking with this guy named Credico, a radio guy down in Florida. Next thing you know, they got into a feud. And someone threatened somebody, the life of somebody's cat.
Yeah.
Now, Roger Stone never has a criminal. He's never had a criminal record. He's never killed a cat, blah, blah, blah. They were getting him on all these things that were just so profoundly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right. So next thing you know, they're asking him a question. It doesn't jive with the record that they have. They throw the book at him.
Yeah.
They sentence him to every count. Amy Berman Jackson has squashed his ability to speak in public. It was his livelihood. They ruined his livelihood. Mm-hmm. And in addition to all of that, Now they're going to sentence the man to 9 years. There's people that are involved with child porn that don't get 9 years. There's people that are involved in manslaughter that get 3 years.
And this is, and he was,
where they take
was,
a baseball
he
bat
was
to convicted
somebody's on five counts of making false statements to Congress, one obstruction charge and a witness tampering. I guess that must be the cat. So my point in bringing that up is the actual charges don't rise to the level of the punishment.
Right. I mean, it's not, and even A.G. Barr saying 3 to 4 years is more reasonable is ridiculous. But Amy Berman Jackson would throw the book at this guy.
Yeah.
So now you got a situation where he wasn't allowed to speak. He wasn't allowed to defend himself. They ruled in all these different little rulings where he couldn't submit this evidence or exculpatory evidence or whatever it is. He couldn't really engage in a fair trial because he had an unfair judge. So not only was she, Amy Berman Jackson, the judge, working with a bunch of corrupt DOJ operatives, prosecutors, but in addition to that, when it came down to sentencing, she was going to go and throw the book at him.
Yeah.
And I think that what was happening here with Roger Stone had nothing to do with Roger Stone. It has, again, to do with Trump.
Well, as did the Manafort.
Once they got the sentencing and Roger Stone was up to 9 years, he was going to, they would hope that he would compose, talk, but not talk and say, I know the truth. Talk and say, I want to make a deal. I want to compose.
Right.
And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to get to him thinking that he would fold.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling he'll get a pardon even still. But this case has now got to be reheard because they also, Amy Berman Jackson put together a case. She's the judge, and she allowed jurors in her jury, in her courtroom, that were corrupt.
Yeah.
This woman, Tamika Hart, I almost said Tamika, Kansas. I wonder why.
That's Topeka, Kansas.
I know. Tamika, Topeka. She was running against that guy, Steve Cohen, in Memphis. Right. Now, I don't even know why she's part of a jury in D.C.
And how did she?
And she's running for office in Memphis. Now, check this out.
Yeah.
The guy she was running against is Steve Cohen, the guy that said he wishes that he thinks that Peter Strzok should have a Purple Heart.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
And he was eating a bucket of fried chicken in the house.
How can you have, this is a couple things I don't get. How could a person who was running for office be a juror? Also, how could a person with her social media be a juror? You know, she has a tweet on August 19, 2017, where she referred to Trump as the Klan president. Okay, I mean, how did that get passed?
Well, they have a question. The process. And Technofog wrote this. He had a good piece, and he said this. He said, on that Roger Stone juror, of the utmost importance will be her responses to these juror questions on social media and Mueller investigation. That's number one. And number two, running for office. If she answered in the negative, that things will get interesting. And I have a feeling that she probably answered that in the negative.
Yeah.
Because if you're running for office and you're a Democrat, you're too far biased to be a juror.
Right, of course.
So I think that the rule, and Technofog's a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So he's very popular on social media, on Twitter. So the point is that this Tamika Hart may have lied about her running for Congress. She ran against Steve Cohen in Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I don't know what she's doing in D.C. Probably got a gig there. You know, she once upon a time ran for office. Now she's living in D.C. working for some operative. And she's a partisan hack.
That's probably what
that
happened,
hates
actually.
Trump. Yeah. So, okay, but here's the deal. The deal is she should have never, she was the leader of the jury. Yeah. She was the jury foreman.
Yeah, so how did that happen? I mean, she shouldn't have been on the jury to begin with.
Then there's another case where there's another juror that wrote in a that was interviewed for a Washington Post story that said he wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah.
But yet he ruled against Roger Stone. And again, it just goes back to that thing. It's really hard to get a jury that's fair and balanced or unbiased. You know, in that DC book that when John, there's like 98%.
John Grisham, Runaway Jury. I think about that a lot, jury tampering, because it really does happen a lot.
Well, there's jury tampering, but then there's just the fact that DC is riddled with, it's a cesspool of liberals.
Exactly.
And corrupt liberals at
the
that.
The swamp, the blob, we call it many things.
Well, but, you know, when they vote for a loser candidate like Hillary Clinton, like 97%.
Yeah.
How do you find a person, you know, as a juror that thinks at all like mainstream America?
Right.
Right? And, you know, Roger Stone's from Florida. Why not have the jury down there? Why not take him to court down there?
You know, why not? Why didn't they do that? What was the reason?
I don't know. But he would have had a more favorable... Yeah, that being said, he lived in Broward County, I think. Yeah. You know, I mean,
I don't know. Maybe you're right, Scott. Maybe he was better in, off in D.C.
Well, he was in Fort Lauderdale, I think.
Right, which is Broward, County.
I don't know what to make of it, but there's a lot of exciting things that are happening. I think that we can get rid of this Amy Berman Jackson judge. I think definitely Trump, Roger Stone has a case. Now, he submitted his case. It's a sealed request. It was a sealed request. And that sealed request was that he would get the case reheard. Well, that was denied by Amy Berman Jackson. It was a sealed request to rehear the case. Mm-hmm. And it was denied. Now, this judge has to go. So she oversaw and allowed a dirty juror in her courtroom. Then she engaged with, incited with, and ruled in favor of four corrupt prosecutors that resulted in a sentence that was ridiculous. I mean, I think of John Valjean for getting life sentence for stealing a loaf of bread.
And of course, you're referring to the protagonist of Les Miserables.
Yes, you say it so French. and so, you know, that's the point. I mean, it's just unbelievable that we're living in this banana republic, it seems like. The liberals have done so much to really just screw up our country. And I'm just going to read a few things here now, these tweets, because all these Democrats, it's March 31st, by the way.
March 31st.
AG okay. Barr, March 31st. Also, Lisa Page, and here's again, it's the arrogance of it all, too. Like Lisa Page says to Aaron and Adam and Jonathan and Michael, these attorneys, right? I am sorry for the agony you are about to endure and for the pain and betrayal you will feel at the hands of your beloved department. Know that you are on the right side of history and that we are so very proud of you defending the rule of law. They do this in open, plain sight.
Yeah.
You know who else spoke up? Who? John Brennan. You know who else spoke up?
Who?
James Comey. I mean, the same usual suspects are advocating. So Jeff Carlson writes, rule of law, I.G. Horowitz. There is such a range of conduct here that it is inexplicable, and the answers we got were not satisfactory. We're left trying to understand how could all these errors have occurred over a 9-month period going to the very top of the organizations. Mm-hmm. You know, it's at some point, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Now, that being said, you know, Cernovich, Mike Cernovich was breaking a lot of these cases, but CNN wrote this. CNN wrote, liberal CNN, right? A juror on the Roger Stone trial said she wants to stand up for the four prosecutors. This is what happened, is because the four prosecutors resigned, this Tamika Hart was such an activist that she couldn't keep her mouth shut. And she started going off on social media and elsewhere saying, I was a juror, and she outed herself.
Right.
Now everybody's looking into her background and finding all these tweets that are starting to disappear, but she's on record. So this case that was requested to be heard, retried and denied on behalf of Roger Stone is now more than likely going to be retried and reheard on behalf of Roger Stone. I think he's going to get away and get off on this thing now.
Yeah, well, and then the Democrats only have themselves to blame.
Now, that being said, there's a lot of rumblings about Seth Rich and Julian Assange coming to the forefront again. We're about to learn who the anonymous op-ed writer is, because that's another leak. And again, came out of the White House. And remember the op-ed guy or the op-ed person wrote the word lodestar.
Yes.
And I remember at the time they were talking about well, it could have been Pence, right? Lodestar,
right?
Sorry about that. We're at a remote location for so we don't know what sounds are.
At our regular studio, we hear sirens all the time, so stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody thought Pence, right? Could be Pence. Right. And Nathan Krieger is somebody that I think Tory was bandying about. I'm seeing a report today that John Kelly could be the man, too.
Well, you know, the other thing I recall about the op-ed was written in a way in which it was very pro-John McCain, and John McCain had recently passed away prior to the release of that op-ed. So we were looking around at the time at who were the pro-McCain people.
So Maggie Haberman retweeted this, and she's a New York Times woman, and this is from The Atlantic, and it says, John Kelly finally lets loose on Trump. The former chief of staff explained in the clearest terms yet his misgivings about Trump's behavior regarding North Korea, immigration, and Ukraine, which I think have all proven to be super successful. Right. I mean, his handling of Ukraine is getting to the bottom of it where no investigations were ever done before. So, you know, if you listen to Kelly, he's just going to let the corruption keep on going, right? I love the way Trump is doing things. He's doing things differently. You know, if Kelly's unable to think outside the box, that's shame on him. And he can go and go off into the sunset and play checkers for all I care, you know. But, I mean, he has no business as a national security advisor or chief of staff to be doing what he's doing. Hardly anybody in the history of in our history has written books or badmouth the president while they were still sitting president. Susan Rice never did it. A lot of people never did. And let's face it, you know, W. Bush was not the sharpest tool in the shed. The guy couldn't even say the word nuclear, and he botched the entire Iraq invasion. You know, I mean, that whole thing from soup to nuts was a disaster. He allowed the media to eat his lunch, and Donald Trump is fighting every single aspect of the deep state. And right now we're starting to see, again, Julian Assange, Seth Rich. You know, let's face it, Seth Rich was murdered. He worked at the DNC. Nobody wants to investigate it. Biden did get his son a rich gig, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to investigate it. Nobody wants to investigate any of these things. It's the most insane thing. Where's the investigation? They lie to your face and say that there was an investigation. You know, FBI says, well, we don't have the server. We never really looked into it. CrowdStrike has it. Oh, CrowdStrike was like owned and operated by a Russian and an FBI guy that worked directly under Eric Holder and Barack Obama. Okay, they were paid by the DNC, and somehow that investigation is adequate for the FBI, that level of scrutiny. If that were the case, then Roger Stone should get to hire Donald Trump to paint the narrative. I mean, it's insane on its face that we're supposed to believe what the government is telling us and what the mainstream media, who carries their water every second of every day, is telling us. And they're telling us a pack of lies. And John Kelly, for some reason, is too stupid to get the idea that, you know, when Trump calls North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, Little Rocket Man, that had an impact. That was the language that resonated with, you know, a guy that plays video games.
You know who complimented John Kelly on speaking out? Rick Stengel. And Rick Stengel, I guess, was at one point the editor of Time, but he was the person who was the president of the National Constitution Center. I used to see him at the gym all the time. I'm like,
yeah,
seriously?
Well, it just goes to show you all these people that are, but still, you know, Trump's numbers are bigger than ever. Like, if you look at New Hampshire, he's got almost 130,000 to Obama's 50 for an incumbent. You know, in getting votes, right? But in addition, you know, there were 8 Republicans that voted to reduce Trump's ability war strategy in Iran, right?
And why didn't that happen for Obama?
Yeah, I know.
What is going on?
Let's give all the power to Obama, but let's take it away from Trump. Trump is 10 times smarter than Obama could ever dream of being. And, you know, so I don't know. You look at the track record, and so far North Korea is not doing what they were doing when Trump arrived. Immigration is better. It's down across the crossings across the border because John Kerry was involved with that. And Ukraine, the corruption is being investigated for the first time. Giuliani's ahead of the curve right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of these things are going in the right direction, but yet John Kerry doesn't want to throw his old boss a bone who gave him, you know, had faith in him and hired the guy. So let's read this. He says, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, the former National Security Council aide and impeachment witness President Donald Trump fired Friday, was just doing his job, former White House Chief of Staff John Kelly told students and guests at Drew University event on Wednesday. Over a 75-minute speech and Q&A session, Kelly laid out in the clearest terms yet his misgivings about Trump's words and actions regarding North Korea, illegal immigration, military discipline, Ukraine, and the news media. What was the other one about, too, when the it was that Gallagher guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Trump went to bat for the guys in the field, right? The
right.
soldiers on the ground.
Right.
And against the top brass. This top brass that seems to have a political bias mm-hmm. everywhere you turn. So Kelly, a retired Marine Corps general, said Vindman is blameless and was simply following the training he'd received as a soldier. Migrants are overwhelmingly good people. So methinks that maybe Kelly put a little bit too much faith in Vindman and what got it wrong. I would just say this, that what Kelly is not telling those students is that Vindman modified the call and added the word Burisma mm-hmm. to his own modification because mm-hmm. he said he thought he heard it, but yet nobody else did.
Right.
Then he leaked the contents of the call
mm-hmm.
that outside of his chain of command. So he violated chain of command. Mm-hmm. He leaks it to not only George Kent, who is a guy that failed in Ukraine because he oversaw the endless mm-hmm. levels of corruption, who was colluding with Marie Yovanovitch, and who was also talking with, then he also talked with the CIA guy mm-hmm. that was his contact, the so-called whistleblower. And then Chuck Schumer just yesterday said Vindman was the other whistleblower. So
why doesn't Chuck Schumer get into trouble for using the word whistleblower and calling somebody out as a whistleblower?
He referred to Vindman and other whistleblowers like him.
Yeah.
That's how Chuck Schumer referred to Vindman. Well. Okay. So, but we know that Vindman talked to somebody at the CIA.
Right.
Who was working in the White House. And we know that that was Eric Ciaramella.
Mm-hmm.
And Rand Paul outed that. And then Brennan did one finer. He connected the word whistleblower with Eric Ciaramella.
Right.
So Brennan did it too. So we kind of know what's going on here. And we know that Eric Ciaramella was working with Biden. And we know that Eric Ciaramella was colluding with his lover, Sean Misko, who were talking about getting rid of Donald Trump. Very similar in aspect to Evelyn Farkas, who's running for Congress in New York State for U.S. Congress. She's the one that said we had to actually get as much data out of the White House as we possibly could because we didn't know how much they were going to try to bury. And she was talking about Trump. No, they were trying to actually destroy the evidence. Because they had a bloody crime scene.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't expect that they were going to lose.
Right.
So that was the problem there. So we know what's going on there. And, you know, in the wake of the impeachment, Trump let go 70 National Security Council people. Great.
Great.
Get rid of
About
them.
About time. Anybody, clean house.
Anybody that's connected with Obama. Can't be trusted at this point. And at this point, if you're an American citizen and you somehow want to take another bite at the Democrat apple, you ought to get your head examined.
Right.
I would never, ever consider voting for a Democrat right now. I mean, not that I was likely to anyway, but now I just think that the Democrats have proven themselves to be the enemy of the state.
Well, and I think what is happening, and there are more and more studies and articles coming out showing that despite the move towards the left of the candidates and also, well, you know, organizations like the Squad within, you know, Congress, the American people really are not that left. So there is going to be a resistance to this shift. And what, and that may go in different directions. That may go towards Trump if you have enough centrists, or that may, or if the Democrats, or if one of their candidates moves a little bit more to the center. So it's a very interesting place to find ourselves in.
Speaking of Democrats, though, and we'll take this to a little bit of a lighter note since we're going commercial free today. And sometimes it gets a little dry, the subject matter. But here's a guy. It's pretty amazing, actually, when you think about it. I tweeted this out. I said, so this liberal lawmaker admits, I was in the airport because we're in South Carolina right now. We were flying. I said, so this liberal lawmaker admits that if you come to America and cannot speak English, you will be declared disabled and entitled to all the benefits of a disabled person. Let that sink in. Then vote Trump landslide 2020. So here we go. Check this out.
Today, one of the cuts that my so-called friends from the left are saying is that if you come into this country and can't speak English, then you're disabled. Have you heard that?
It is one of the qualifying factors right now within the disability insurance program that we're trying to reform.
How dumb is that? If you can't come into this country and speak English, you're entitled to all the benefits of this country because you can't speak the American, you can't speak English. The American people are on to it and they get it. Tax cut.
Can you believe that? Is that the most absurd thing?
It's absolutely absurd. And you know what I don't like about it? It puts the people who truly are disabled, the people that have mental disabilities, the people who have physical disabilities, it puts them at the bottom of the line. It puts them at the back of the line. And, you know, for people who are coming into this country and don't speak the language, not knowing a language is not a disability.
Can you believe that, though? That's unbelievable. Yeah, that's just insanely ridiculous. It's
showing where the thinking is going, and that, you know, we've moved into this social justice warrior save the world type mentality to our detriment. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not the
let's
principles
reward
on which
the people
the country
that don't assimilate and don't try and who hate us the most and vote liberal.
And again, with assimilation means that you come in and you become part of the common group. Doesn't mean you give up your ethnicity.
Some of these
it just means
the flag from which they're coming from, they're.
But you join this team. You become part of the Team America. You're part of Team America. Doesn't mean you forgot where you came from or abandoned your language. But in order to function in this society, you need to speak, read, and write English. We've already kowtowed enough on this with the Spanish in certain areas. But now we're going to suddenly turn it into a disability. That's absolutely ludicrous.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, in this case, Adam Schiff tweeted out, he said, Roger Stone lied to Congress and threatened a witness to cover up Trump campaign contacts with WikiLeaks. He was found guilty on all charges. Barr overruling career prosecutors at Trump's urging is disgraceful attack on the rule of law. Has DOJ no independence left? And he was referring to a New York Times article. And I said, well, Schiff lied about Trump's call, withheld Michael Atkinson's testimony, stopped Vindman from testifying regarding who he leaked to, and Schiff lied about the whistleblower, Eric Ciaramella, testifying because he said he would and then he didn't. Right?
Right.
And then he said Schiff is buddies with Ed Buck, Igor Pasternak, and Bruce Hensel, who was also arrested for pedophilia. Bruce Hensel is another guy that is, you know, has seen the inside of a jail cell that's connected with Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff is so corrupt. I cannot wait until they dump the stuff on him. But I said this. I said, as New York and California race, oh, this is a big deal. Okay, this is a different story. But this one, to me, has really gotten under my skin. And this is a big, big deal that I'm about to tell you. All right. Leonora, you're aware of this. I'm talking about Virginia.
Yes, I'm about to talk about that a little bit more. Yeah. The Virginia House of Delegates on Tuesday passed a bill to award its electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote. as the newly elected Democratic majority sought to join the pact to leapfrog the Electoral College. So the state house in Virginia voted 51-46 to enter into the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which is called HB 177. 15 are currently doing it. If Virginia becomes part of it, it will be 16. So think about
this.
Can
you list the states?
I don't know them off the top of my head. So, but what I will say is this is just a very scary way in which the country is going. And
you know what I said? I wrote a tweet about this.
Yeah.
And I said, as New York and California race to offer voter rights and IDs to illegals, okay, as New York and California, because keep in mind, 7 of the 10 people that were trying to impeach Trump were from New York and California.
Right.
Okay. New York and California are askew. They have their sanctuary states. They're offering free health care and free education to illegals and refugees and people that without citizenship. They want to give you they want to give you voter ID. They want to give you a driver's license, which it's an honor system to whether you can vote or not.
Yeah.
I mean, all these different things. They're also packaging up these IDs and setting up addresses based on those IDs to battleground districts in battleground states throughout our country. But in addition to that, I said, as New York and California race to offer voter rights and IDs to illegals, Dem-led Virginia House of Delegates seeks to capitalize on California and New York corruption by passing legislation to award states electoral votes to the presidential candidate that wins national popular vote in election. Now, here's the problem with that. Virginia is now adopting the politics of California. So Virginia, that's supposed to represent the citizens of that state, and where states have competition with each other, saying, I want to live in a conservative state because I want lower taxes. I want to move to Florida, for example, because
There's no state
income tax, or Delaware is the same thing. So, but you know, Florida has a better governor. I want to choose. So if I'm in California, I might want to move to Texas, right?
Yeah.
Because they have a better tax structure. They have better, just a better run government, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So I move there. Next thing you know, that state adopts the politics of California. So if I'm in Virginia, and they say, we're going to go ahead and adopt the popular vote. A lot of people think there's no way that Trump's going to lose the popular vote, number one. So nothing to worry about there. And it could turn out to backfire on the Democrats.
It could.
Because next thing you know, if California and New York did that, which I bet you California and New York did not do that.
Right.
It's these smaller states that are going to be subjected to New York and California's politics, not the other way around. But could be states that Trump would lose that he'll get the delegates if that, you know, who knows? But I think that when you look at the list, and I wish I had that list.
I can't pull it up right now.
Okay. Now, do you have the Hill? Is that the one you're going on?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It would be interesting to see what states those are. It says so far only 15 states and Washington, D.C. have entered the the popular vote. I think there was a list. I had that list.
I have it.
Okay, what is it?
Okay, it's Maryland, New Jersey, Illinois, Hawaii, Washington, Massachusetts, District of Columbia, and Vermont.
Okay, so those are all states. How do these Democrats get away with it? Those are all states that are Democrat states.
Yeah.
So they're all doing it. So basically what they're saying is there's not one of those states is Trump going to... Well, actually, no. When you think about it, okay, no, I'm thinking out loud here. Trump could win New Jersey based on that.
Yeah. I'm missing a few of them also. It's also California.
Wait, read off the states.
All right, let me do it again because Maryland, New Jersey, Illinois, Hawaii, Washington, Massachusetts, D.C., Vermont, California, Rhode Island, New York, Connecticut, Colorado, Delaware, New Mexico, and Oregon. I'm seeing 16 here, and that the,
okay. But
so this
are,
is all.
Those are all states that Trump
enacting
lost.
The law to join the national popular vote interstate. Well, because what I read was it was only 15, not including Virginia, but this has got 16 right
Holy
here.
Holy cow. Is California one of them?
Well, you know what? Maybe they're not counting D.C. because D.C. is in a state.
Is California
California
one of
is one of the states.
And New York?
And New York is one of them.
All right. So if Trump were to win the popular vote, right?
Right.
He wins all those states.
Right.
Delegates.
Yeah.
So he's going to win like 500 and something to zip.
Yeah.
If he gets the popular vote.
Which is incredible.
Well, you know, and keep in mind this, that in 2000, the vote outlay, with the popular vote was 50 million right. to 50 million. It was a dead heat. And then, you know, for the most part, it's been around this last election, the 2016 election, Trump's number was actually quite high.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to go from 63 million to probably about 68.
Yeah.
And I think if you get Bernie or someone like that that's coming out, Bloomberg has more racist comments than we've ever heard of.
Yeah.
His stuff, he's like, you know, throw him against the wall and make an example out of him. I mean, he's gone off the rails. His rhetoric was
Which
really
is interesting because people have talked about there being a brokered convention and Bloomberg, because he's spent buying everything out, because he's spent an incredible amount of money on advertising, far more than Trump has.
And Amy Klobuchar was on record supporting a wall. So, I mean, there's so many things that are not jiving with today's Democratic Party.
Well, you know what the talking point is? They're all allowed to evolve.
Yeah, but here's the deal. Okay, so that's interesting that it's all Democrats. What they're trying to do is, if enough states do this, what they're trying to do is suggest that then all states are going to have to do it. This is a way to force them. Now, California and New York are rigging their elections. They're getting all these... It used to be this, and I said this, and you and I were talking about this before the 2016 election.
Right.
Remember when Obama did the Dreamer thing, the DACA?
Yeah.
And we found out that he printed 5 million, used an Irish printer to print up all these forms.
Yeah, it was something like 15 million forms.
And
the only reason why people found out about it was there was an RFP, a request for proposal,
that got
made public.
Okay, so... Everybody's like, wow, they're pushing this through big time. You know why? Because what they were trying to do was get these voters, get these illegals voting, right? And they couldn't distribute it.
Yeah.
So what happened in 2016 is they couldn't get those people moved out of California.
Right.
They were busing them. We remember hearing Bobby Jingle, for example, in Louisiana saying a whole truckloads of people were coming in, and they wouldn't tell me when they were coming, where they were coming from.
This is 2014.
Right.
We're getting a lot of people shipped in.
And kids
that were not inoculated against diseases.
Right. And in Florida, they were like, I tried to ask Loretta Lynch, and she said they have a right to privacy and that we weren't allowed to know.
Yeah, it's
ridiculous. So they were trying to do this where they were moving them. They realized they couldn't move. They didn't have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
And that Justice Hannon in Texas put a hold on it.
Mm-hmm.
The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals sustained the hold.
Yep.
And DACA was put on the freeze.
Yeah.
And the person who was controlling whether or not to see the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals was Justice Scalia.
There we go.
Who wound up dead in the bed without a witness or an autopsy.
Yeah.
So you got to think, well, maybe there was foul play there. I seem to think that there was, actually, given the...
Yeah.
Circumstances. But in this case, this is what they want. They want these people. So California and New York will go a long way in using those brochures to import the voters, to get the numbers high enough to where it's impossible for a Republican to win. And then Virginia and a lot of these other swing states will end up going in favor of the Democrats. So even though you win it, you lose it.
Well, there you go. Well, speaking of foul play.
And there seems to be coordination, too, because we've already seen Cuomo and Gavin Newsom pushing like in a feverish pitch.
They seem to be
all
in concert.
Things.
They seem to be in concert.
And these states seem to have this agenda as a priority.
To echo a word you used a moment ago, foul play. We've got another story of foul play. Barclays has revealed that its CEO who is being probed over links to Jeffrey Epstein. And the CEO's name is Jess Staley. He's being investigated over his links to Jeffrey Epstein. the we all know what happened to Jeffrey Epstein, the American financier and convicted sex offender who reportedly committed suicide in jail last year. So media reports over the last 6 months have indicated historical ties between Jess Staley and Epstein. According to Barclays, on Thursday, Staley developed a professional relationship with Epstein earlier in his career, but they had no contact since Staley joined the British bank in 2015. But Barclays said that the relationship between Staley and Epstein is the subject of an ongoing inquiry from the UK regulator for the Financial Conduct Authority, and the company is complying with the investigation.
Wow.
So that's another piece of news. So let's see what that does to Barclay.
So Don Jr. Tweets out, he says, how long will the DNC have Liz Warren stay in the race just to screw over Bernie? After getting zero delegates in her neighboring state, all she can do is act as a blocker. The party will reward her later. You know, I never thought about
well,
that
there's
strategy.
There's some truth to that.
But that's a plausible strategy. One more thing. I have a video or audio clip about this woman from a black woman from American University, typical liberal.
Yeah.
And here she is saying she wants to segregate these rooms. And let's listen.
Public service announcement. Excuse me. If y'all didn't know, this is the MSC. And frankly, there's just too many white people in here. And this is a space for people of color. So just be really cognizant of the space that you're taking up, because it does make some of us POCs uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here. It's only been open for 4 days, and frankly, there's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us. So keep that in mind. Thank you.
Wow.
Seriously?
Yeah. So that's where it's heading, right?
Listen to the nomenclature. How come they're people of color and white people are just white people? What is it supposed to be? Weren't we just white versus black? Or so what are we, people of no color? I mean, it's, again, this does not help. This does not help people integrating and people working together when you implement deliberately divisive tactics and ways of dealing with your everyday lives.
No, it's really getting to a bad place. Also, I'm just trying to get through a couple of things we missed in this hour, and we're running out of time. And it says here, question, some Republicans have said that they had hoped you'd learn a lesson from impeachment. What lesson did you learn? President Trump was asked. He says that Democrats are crooked. That explains it right there. Hey, well, we want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Scott Adams Show. My name is Scott Adams.
My name is Leonora Cravotta.
And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye now.
Long way from the suits in D.C., but close enough now to see this mess.